there's a myth that goes along with Michael Jordan that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And LeBron is on equal footing, in my mind, with the great 23.
Definitely a Browns fan till the end. It's kind of like a rite of passage when you're born in Cleveland. You just can't let that go. You all get hope for the Browns.
Hey, why do you think Arnold took Columbus to hold the Arnold? That's the second largest sporting event in the world. Me and I always kid, we were born and raised in Ohio, and this is where we raised our families. Ohio is such a hotbed in the NPC.
Now I'm back in Cincinnati, so I'm the pulse, the heartbeat for Bengals fans.
With the OSU Buckeyes right smack in the middle of Columbus, you know, during football season, it's hard not to be a fan. The whole city shuts down on Saturdays.
Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins!
I love boxing. I love wrestling. Putting them both together and then other martial arts, you know, the jiu-jitsu added in the kickboxing. It's just the grind. I like the grind.
The outpouring of love for Mark Coleman has been great.
Finally, Ohio is united in hockey. It's always a tough sell with the Avalanche being the farm team for the Cleveland organization.
I love listening to With an Ohio Bias podcast, and as always, go Jackets.
Blue Jackets hockey is something exciting and something that people want to get behind. I really couldn't even put into words the way people have taken to the fifth line.
The news stories of athletes committing violence against women is just too much.
If Pete Rose was a better gambler, he wouldn't have been in all this problem.
I love the name of the show, With an Ohio Bias.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Brings up. It's good! Kyrie Irving from downtown! And the Cavaliers by three. Love picks up Curry. Curry steps back, fakes a three, drives again, it's up a three. Rebound James with 30 seconds remaining.
What a spectacular job by Love.
Trying to stay with Curry, catches, one dribble, steps back, puts up a three, won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spades, final seconds. It's over, it's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with D and Jake. Show 152, The Boomerang Effect. I am D, Cleveland born and raised, Buckeye born and bred.
And I'm Jake from Youngstown to CBUS. Let's talk our Cleveland champs.
Jake, there's a lot of ways that we have news that we have for people to be able to listen to this podcast. We thank you for finding us if you already are hearing our voices. But make sure that you're following us on Twitter at With an Ohio Bias, and definitely give us a like on Facebook. But you can listen via the Stitcher app, and that's available, you know, on Apple AirPlay in cars and also on Android and Apple devices and any tablet device that's out there, even your Apple iPads and definitely the Kindles and Nooks. You can listen to us on iTunes. We're in the iTunes store, so you can just search With an Ohio Bias in the directory, and you can pull us up, write us a nice review, give us 5 stars if you feel so inclined. And then, of course, we are available in the Google Play podcast area, where all you have to do is search With an Ohio Bias, get us on Android devices, and definitely leave us a review there as well. Jake, the boomerang effect, what this podcast is all about, we're going to talk about how the Cavs have wrapped around to, you know, go back-to-back, and the chances are looking pretty good after sweeping the Pacers, going into a series with the Raptors, who they know very well. And then, of course, how the Indians have all the excitement and maybe a little bit more talent than those teams of 95. Jake, let's get into this Cavs-Raptors series, man. I'm excited the way the Cavs finished against the Pacers. We know it got tight there at the end, but a sweep is a sweep, and the Cavs, they had a long week of rest. We almost forgot basketball was coming back.
Yeah, who are the Cavs again? It's definitely been a bit here for the Cleveland Cavaliers since we saw them. I guess that's a good thing. You're able to get the rest you need and also, more importantly, get the practice you need to work out some of the stuff that had even been an issue in the sweep as well. And that, to me, most importantly, is the defense communication, and effort as well. So, good to have basketball back here Monday, and looking forward to the Cavaliers taking on these Raps again.
Yeah, we're really going to get to these dinosaurs and how the Cavs are going to make them extinct here in a second. But real quick on the Pacers, man, a lot of things happening there. We know that the Paul George situation is definitely going to be up in the air. But Larry Bird steps down, man. That was a head-scratcher. I know this guy was really frowning and upset watching the greatness of LeBron James and probably thinking about, you know, what he would have did if he could have been matched up, if he could get in the old, get LeBron in the DeLorean, bring him back to his days on the hardwood. But that was a strange ending to the Pacers, and LeBron clearly has broken up another franchise.
Yeah, Cavaliers retired Larry Bird. And I think part of it, too, was Larry Bird wasn't about to go down as the guy who got rid of Paul George or traded Paul George or let him go or whatever it was going to end up being. So I think he got out of town just in time there. As this Pacers team looks like it needs a complete rebuild now, unless you're going to build around Lance Stephenson, which would be so awesome. But, yeah, I think there are a couple things that in that series that you picked up, and that's the first and foremost is just the greatness of LeBron James. And, you know, people who don't think that he should be even in the conversation with Michael Jordan are complete idiots at this point. The guy showed you why he's one of the greatest of all time. Six straight NBA finals, and he's not close to being done too. So just being able to appreciate LeBron James's greatness and was pretty awesome. And then Tyronn Lue not afraid to send a message to his other stars. That game where they came back from, I think, 75 down or something like that. Kyrie at the end of the third quarter, Kevin Love midway through the third quarter, never coming back. And the way that that bench crew was able to give the effort defensively and make shots and get back into the game, it did two things. First, it sent the message to those two that they got to try defensively and they've got to be better on the offensive side of the ball too. It gave confidence to that bench group. You know, I think it could be a different series or a different playoff season now because of that, because the bench was really, really struggling to contribute in any way. And for them to have that confidence to bring the team back to a win with LeBron James, I think when it gets reversed now coming back into this series, I think you're going to get a better effort out of Kyrie and Kevin Love, and I think you're going to find a more confident bench, which is going to be huge going forward.
Well, you definitely like that they're building momentum, even if it did only take four games. They get the rest, and like you said, you know, with Ty Lue pushing the right buttons, that's also a great thing to see. We know this matchup with the Raptors is going to be a knockout, drag-out affair. And, you know, keeping Lowry and DeRozan off the foul line is going to be key. But to me, the Cavs just have to rebound and keep that ball movement that we saw in spurts. They didn't do it all the time, but we saw it in spurts against the Pacers, and that was what allowed them to get the upper hand and get those big leads, even though they lost them, you know, sometimes. At least they got out to those big leads. I think that's going to be key against the Raptors. My other key is the point that you made about Kyrie and Kevin Love stepping up after being benched. We saw the way that it worked for Shumpert. I think they're going to be key in this series because LeBron's going to be facing waves on defense. Basically, the Raptors went out and their general manager brought in guys to try to, you know, stop LeBron. I mean, they bring in P.J. Tucker. They bring in a Serge Ibaka, and then they couple that with the year before when they brought in DeMar Carroll. So those are three guys that we know they're going to try to be all over LeBron James. Not saying that, you know, you exalted his greatness, but not saying that that's going to slow him down or anything like that. But I think it's going to be real key with a lot of focus on LeBron that the other guys can maximize the opportunity that always creates.
Yeah, I mean, I think you made some great points, and the ball movement one was definitely there. When these guys are moving the ball like that, they are so hard to stop from scoring because of just the prolific three-point shooters that they can put on the court at any time, the spacing that they can give. So, I mean, they're more than capable of creating lots of basketball porn, and it's just that's what this team, when they get hot, they are hard to beat. And the other thing to keep in mind is, in every series LeBron James has played, there's been at least one road victory. So for a team to have to overcome that, you got to be a pretty special team, and I just don't see it in these Toronto Raptors. Last year, if we learned one thing, if you shut down DeRozan and Lowry, they can't beat you. If they go crazy, they're going to beat you. But I like the matchups for the Cavaliers. I mean, they added Ibaka, but I think Tristan really will give him a hard time, and he won't be able to be much of a factor offensively. That's, to me, one of the key matchups. Tristan's got to be able to out-rebound and out-work Serge Ibaka. JR, if we can get away with using him on DeRozan and not LeBron and not making LeBron work on both ends, a combination of him and Shumpert, you know, and I think we started to see these guys start playing the way they did in the playoffs in those last couple games with the Pacers. So it'll be interesting to see if you can rely on that matchup with DeRozan. And then Kyrie's got to just try to limit Lowry as much as possible. And there's a concern about Lowry's back as well. So we'll see what he's like. And what that leaves you with, really, D, is LeBron James on Nigel Powell and Kevin Love on Damari Carroll and P.J. Tucker. So those are great matchups. And the benches, you know, Derek Williams versus Kirst versus Joseph, I like the Williams matchup. You know, Channing versus Tucker, I like Channing. I like Shump versus Patterson. I like Korver versus Valanciunas. You know, I just think there's so many more points to come from this Cleveland's depth than there is for the intangibles that the Toronto Raptors bring you.
Yeah, and that's where the Raptors go, you know, like into a little bit of a funk. They do have scoring droughts. That's one of their small problems. The other thing that they got to be worried about up there in Toronto is whether Kyle Lowry's how his back's doing after, you know, Matthew Dellavedova was leaning on him for five games. The one other matchup to me is not even on the court, is actually on the sideline. I really like seeing Ty Lue assert himself in that Pacers series, and I think he definitely has the upper hand on Dwayne Casey. Dwayne Casey, for some reason, can never hit the buttons at the right time, and I don't think it's going to be this series against the Cavs where he finds it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Tyronn Lue, again, gets a bad rep. I think he's a much better coach than he gets credit for, and he definitely, as far as pushing buttons, maybe not so much in the rotations at times, in defensive coaching, but I mean, when they take a timeout and they come out of the huddle, they've got a play that generally works. So I think Tyronn Lue is a great coach for this situation and this team, allowing LeBron James to have some of the leadership skills and the ability that not a lot of players have, having to balance that with still being able to be authoritative with him. I think he's done a great job. Overall, this team, I called Toronto trash already once this year and thought Milwaukee was going to beat them. I'd be shocked if this thing goes six. I'm going to take the Cavs in five. I think the Raptors end up manning up once in Toronto with that great crowd. But ultimately, this is a bad matchup for them, and I think the Cavaliers in that rest, we're going to see the benefits here in this series.
Yeah, I respect that crowd up there. We the North as basketball fans, but
yeah,
they're going down, and I agree. I think they're going down in four or five. Here's the other thing that is one thing that we don't have to worry about, maybe not anymore, and then at least for the rest of the playoffs. And then the only thing that worries me about that, I don't know what the Cavs did last year when they went up to Toronto, but please don't do that again because I don't know what they were doing. I'm not going to speculate, but whatever they did, I don't care where they ate at it. They ate at, I know they ate at Drake's restaurant and all that. But, you know, they need to change that whole game plan up. You know, if we got to bring David Blatt to take everybody out bowling, you know.
It wasn't that they were doing. That wasn't the issue.
And then the other speculation that people have been going crazy about, kudos to 82 Mil. He's possibly has put the brakes on his reality show starlet relationship with one Khloe Kardashian, if that's true,
wow.
Supposed to be true, kudos to him. And I think that bids well for the Cavs. So that, these are things that have nothing to do with on the court stuff, but can have tremendous impact if whether or not the Cavs can put these guys away early and quick.
You're breaking news to me. I didn't know about the Tristan Kardashian curse being broken. We'll see now. Let's go.
All over the internet, sir. Definitely excited. Let's take a quick look, Jake. First of all, the guy was a Cavalier before he was, you know, coach of the Warriors and all that stuff. I really hope that Steve Kerr finds, like, you know, some stability to his health concerns. You know, a lot of people are worried about the coaching. You know, I mean, Lord knows, Mike Brown. We don't even – that's a podcast for another day. We'll get sidetracked on that whole thing. But I'm really hoping Steve Kerr is there because I want to beat the Warriors at full strength, just like we know how bad that felt the first, you know, matchup, you know, in the finals against them when the Cavs weren't at full strength. So we definitely know how it feels. This will probably be the one kind thing I ever say to those fans out there in Dub Nation, but really want Steve Kerr to be back on the sidelines. They made it past Portland, you know, pretty easily without him, but I think they're going to definitely need him, definitely if they see the Cavs in the finals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back pain is some of the worst stuff in the world. And Steve Kerr, former Cavalier, of course, one of the just nice guys in all of basketball. Great basketball mind, too. So it definitely is a hindrance to Golden State's efforts to get back to the finals and then win a title. But, you know, definitely want Steve Kerr to be back and healthy and being able to have a quality life.
I think the rest of these other series went the way that we thought they would go. So we now have the matchup. Spurs advanced past the Memphis Grizzlies to play the Houston Rockets. That definitely is going to be entertaining because it's definitely a contrast in styles. Of course, we have in the East, Boston and Washington somehow people think this is a rivalry because these guys get chippy and pop off, you know, after games. But let's be honest, Jake, I think we know the Clippers and the Jazz are playing, you know, but let's be honest, we're just waiting for the Cavs to keep advancing and definitely Golden State to get there. Let's get this, you know, trilogy finished and see the Cavs go back to back.
Hopefully we get to see six or seven games of Harden versus Kawhi Leonard. I think that'll be absolutely fabulous television. I think you're right. Golden State, whoever it is, whether it's Utah or the Clippers, they don't stand a chance against those guys. And then in the Eastern Conference, hopefully we see a nice long series between the Bullets and the Seas. And I actually would prefer to play the Celtics, I think. I think we have their number to an extent, and match up a little bit better. I think the Bullets will be easily handleable too. I think their five starters are as good as the five starters that any other team really puts out there, except for maybe Houston, us, and Golden State. But that bench isn't where it needs to be. So I think that'll be a good series as well. It'll be interesting to see how far it goes. And regardless, I think the Cavs are in a great position here. I mean, this is, knock on wood, as healthy as this team has been all year at this point. So things seem to be coming together for another deep run.
And they're even enjoying themselves at practice and doing their conditioning. They brought in, shout out to DJ Steph Floss. They had him out, you know, at Cleveland Clinic courts getting ready. I will say this about that. I'm on the opposite side of the next round matchup if, you know, how the Cavs get there. I want the Wizards. I want the Cavs to keep building momentum, getting the best of the best that the East has to offer. So I think that, you know, with Beal and Wall and that pressure that they can bring, I think that will definitely prepare the Cavs so they can be, you know, hitting at all cylinders going into the finals. So, but we got plenty of time to talk about that on future podcasts. We're going to say, as always, go Cavs, and definitely want to defend the land. And we're going to keep talking about the land. Jake, we got to talk about these Cleveland Indians, man. Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, these guys Lindor goes for his seventh home run. He's hit five from the left side. People are starting to question him, like Eric Thames, you know, whether or not he's doing something to enhance this ability to hit for power. And, oh, yeah, a guy that, you know, is known to be the ace of the staff just showed up with two hell of a performances in his last two outings in Corey Kluber.
Lindor again today, 2-for-5, 3 RBI, a double, a home run, you know, another really nice play at shortstop. What else is new? You know, getting Michael Brantley back has been such a key for this team as well. And once Kipnis got an RBI hit today, once he gets going, now down in that sixth slot, Chisenhall looks great out in center field. This lineup 1-7 is as good as any lineup in baseball. And you don't even have Encarnacion and Santana hitting the way that we know they can hit. So this is a dangerous lineup, and he got a couple guys down in the minors that could fill those last two spots in the lineup in Bradley Zimmer and Francisco Mejia. So it'll be interesting to see if they do anything with those two slots. But the bullpen's been incredible all year. Cody Allen has been one of the best closers in baseball for now the last year and a half, and Andrew Miller's unhittable. Boone Logan's been a great situational lefty. McAllister has pitched great in long relief. So, I mean, it's just been a really, really good start. You don't want to shoot yourself out in April, and then we're going to come out of April in first place as they put it to the Mariners today, and the Tigers took care of the White Sox. So, in the starting pitching, yeah, again, Kluber's starting to come out of it, and when he comes out of it completely, Carrasco's ERA is right at 2. Bauer has looked better in his last couple starts. So has Salazar.
Good outing from Tomlin today.
And another good outing from Tomlin today. Exactly. So, and you have depth. So you got Merritt, you got Clevinger down there as well. And you've got options. You've got guys that you could move to make a big trade to go out and get that one guy that you really feel you need to get over the hump. So the start of this Indian season has been great.
Some of the Indians players have been a little upset with the, you know, attendance. I mean, it's been a flux. I mean, one day it's 40 degrees, one day it's 80. I think people are going to start coming out. I'm going to get myself down there. This schedule's been weird, though, man, just the way it starts out, because now they got another road trip where they're on the road, man. Like you brought up the Tigers, they're going to see them. I thought it was important to win this series against the Mariners, who were hot. I mean, they were white hot coming in here. You talk about bullpens. They got one of the best bullpens in baseball, but they couldn't get a lead after Friday night, you know. So definitely impressed by what the Indians did there. But you got the matchup against the Tigers coming up. And then we see the Royals, who, you know, you never know how those games can go, but the Royals aren't playing real well right now. So the Indians definitely going to be on the road, but then they got a nice homestand coming back, you know, finishing up the end of May, and I think that's where they can really make some hay.
You're right, D. Then you end up coming home, and you get the Reds, who, for as hot as they started, are back to being as bad as they normally have been recently. And you also get those Royals again at home. So to me, the Royals, their window's closed. They just don't have the players anymore. So I think that you're going to see a fire sale from them at some point. The White Sox to me aren't a threat. They don't have the pitching to contend. The Tigers, I know they don't have the bullpen, and I don't think they have the starters. So I think this division is for the Indians to win. And as long as they stay healthy and with the leadership that they have, I don't expect letdown moments where you're going to lose 6-7 in a row. It just doesn't happen with this team. So looks like we're going to have another fun Indian summer here.
Yeah, real quick look around the league, man. Talked about how the Mariners are playing. I got to say something about these Angels, man. I don't know if their rotation can help, but the way Pujols is hitting, I mean, we know what Mike Trout does. I've been catching a little bit more of baseball besides the Indians, man. And I'll tell you, this Angels team, whew, they could be scary if they could keep it going, man.
Yeah, I mean, they got probably the best player in all of baseball in Mike Trout, and that certainly helps. I like their bullpen. I don't know if they have the starters to keep this up in the long term. But they're an interesting story, and they're a much improved team, that's for sure.
And then let's go to the National League real quick. I just want to mention something. What's your take on the Madison Bumgarner injury and the Giants? I know you follow them a little bit just as one of the National League teams you like just because they're always in contention. But this Bumgarner thing, it gives me an eerie feel. We think dirt bike. I don't know. Jess Kent came to mind immediately. he's only going to be out a couple months now. But that was a weird thing, man, real weird thing.
A couple months, I mean, that's a big deal here for the Giants, who are trying to go back to the playoffs. It's the old even or the odd year where they generally end up in the World Series and winning it. So to lose, I mean, maybe the best pitcher in baseball, but definitely one of the best in the National League, top two or three anyway, after Clayton Kershaw. To lose him, that's a big hit for those guys.
And then, you know, I'm going to say something. The Yankees are, you know, giving a little bit, but I bring up the Yankees to say this, Jake. We want to say a happy birthday to a big With an Ohio Bias supporter, lover of all things baseball. Sometimes you don't know if there's a team he doesn't like, but happy birthday to Pete.
Yeah, it's Pete Panajotu. Happy birthday. Your Yankees are in first place right now. Is that right?
I believe so. That's what made me think about it. Yeah, well, I was thinking about going around the league.
Yeah, I actually picked them on the live show when we did our baseball breakdown to win the division there. I think they're a really good young team. They've gotten rid of the Deadwood and Teixeira and A-Rod and Brian McCann. So they've been able to shuffle out a lot of salary, get some young, hungry guys in there. Their pitching has been amazing to start the season with Tanaka and Pineda and Severino and Cece, who's now back and healthy and sober, it appears, has been really, really good. And the back end of that bullpen with Betances and Aroldis Chapman, if they get in a position where they can make a playoff push, and they got the room now that they got rid of all that dead money to go out there and add some payroll at the trade deadline, they could be a really scary team that could be a lot like the Indians, where if they have a lead after six innings, you might as well forget about it. So keep an eye out for this young Yankees team. I really like the way Girardi's got them going.
Well, nothing will make me more than happier than put those guys out in the early rounds in the playoffs. So, but happy birthday, Pete Panajotu, happy birthday, man. And you and Maddie Leonard Cakes, I know you're excited that we got some Yankee talk on the With an Ohio Bias podcast. So don't expect this next week.
Some Yankee love, too. I don't know what hat Pete would wear if the Indians had to play the Yankees.
That's how you know the Indians are doing good. We're talking Yankees on here, just trying to give them give that fan base a little bit of love. You know what I mean?
A little love.
Pump them up.
Yeah, with with the Bronx.
We feel so bad that you guys don't know what it feels like to go to a World Series recently. We wanted to show you guys some love. So, you know,
that's right. With the Bronx bias.
Hey, now. Want to wrap up the podcast real quick. Talking about love and talking about fans, Jake, something that I've noticed since I've been back, and it's kind of like why the show is titled this. Both these teams, you know, when it comes to the Cavs, we kind of feel like we've come back full circle, you know, with them back in the playoffs, especially playing against the Raptors again. So you kind of, you know, getting some of that nostalgia and that, you know, anxiety that you had last year, but you got a little more confidence because you know they can actually finish the job. Every time you look up and see the banner in the stadium or you see LeBron go to a post-game press conference with the championship ring on, is always fun to see. But also when it comes to the Indians, man, I feel like this team, they making me fall in love with them every game by game, just the way that I felt in 95, whether it's comebacks. I mean, you can't turn the game off with the Cleveland Indians right now. And that's why I kind of thought the boomerang effect, you know, we all know about the butterfly effect when, you know, we talk about time travel and whatnot. But if you ever played with a boomerang, I remember, like, this is a real personal story, but I was 9 years old, man. I begged, after watching Crocodile Dundee, I begged my mom to get me a boomerang. She finally got me one, and I went out and played with this thing, whatever, and I was just amazed how everything comes back around. And I'm thinking, as fans, if you're around Northeast Ohio or anywhere in Ohio, even when it was coming to the Blue Jackets or whatnot, we're all feeling real good about how these teams, you know, are representing, and it's giving us a sense of pride, and everybody's repping their gear, walking around and whatnot. Man, for somebody that, you know, I know some people that listen to this podcast are a little displaced as fans. You might not get that love wherever you're living at, you know, if it's not in Ohio. I'm telling you, man, if you come back and visit, you're going to see everybody wearing, you know, gear from each team. And it just, man, it makes you feel good, and it makes you feel a part of something bigger. And that's what sports is really supposed to be about.
I think you made a great comparison there. And I'd been thinking about it too, a lot like the 95 team and how I felt about, you know, that was the team other than the early Browns, for us, the Kozar, Biner, Mac, Clay Matthews, Browns. That's the team I was most connected to. And it was heartbreaking in 97. Seeing that, but this team reminds me of them, and they have, you're right, there's a special feeling like these guys are going to get it done. I really feel that way, and whether that's when you add Mejia and Zimmer, like you added Tomey and you added Ramirez to that mix, that lineup's going to be very similar too. Only difference will be that I think this team's got better pitching than those 95 teams. So hopefully you're right. This boomerang it came back, but maybe this time it comes all the way back and we get over the hump and finally get that World Series for the Cleveland Indians.
Now, this is not going to be popular, but Jim Tomey, you know, becomes an analyst for the MLB Network. People are excited. Man, I'm going to tell you this. I've come to have a strong dislike. I have a Tomey overload, man. It's just been too much Jim Tomey, you know, for a long time with these Cleveland Indians, the statue, all this stuff, man. And now that he's going to be on TV all the time, man, I need a Tomey break, man. I need either a Kit Kat or just not to be able to see this guy for a little bit.
Sorry, I could have went a different way with that. I forgot how touchy you are about Jim Tomey. I am too. But that was the pure Tomey. That was back when we all loved Jim, and he was coming up as a third baseman, skinny third baseman. So I guess in that regard.
He took the cash and dash, man.
Right.
Those
were the good times. Those were the good times.
I guess that's a true boomerang effect. It all comes full circle. You know what I mean? So there it is. All right, that's the podcast for this week. Jake, tell the folks what they can expect. You mentioned talking about, you know, making predictions, you know, about when it comes to baseball and stuff like that. You guys go real deep and in-depth with some stuff on thescoreonair.com.
Yeah, sure. And this week we'll be doing the draft. We'll look back on it, see who the winners and losers are, talk about what your Cleveland Browns did. Also, we'll be talking Cleveland Indians baseball, I'm sure. The Cavaliers are back in action. So big show coming up this Thursday on scoreonair.com with an Ohio Bias Live, me and my co-host Aaron Campbell. It'll be a lot of fun. Also, check out our new Columbus Clippers show, Columbus Clippers Live. Every Monday, 11-1, or I'm sorry, every Saturday, 11-1, talking all things Clippers, Indians, state of Ohio, Major League Baseball. You get all that with Columbus Clippers Live Saturdays, 11-1. You got the Columbus Crew Show, a new show started up now. That's Tuesdays 4-5, The CBJ Crosscheck will be this Wednesday, 4 to 6. They'll be doing their season wrap-up. Just a lot of good stuff going on over at the Ohio Media School, scoreonair.com, and the Be On Air Network.
We thank you for listening to this podcast. We appreciate every tweet, every favorite, every like and share, every comment. Anyone and everyone who listens to this podcast, please share, like, and follow, email, tweet your thoughts, even if you got to send us a pigeon Mike Tyson style. Agree, disagree, this discussion of our teams is a passion and fuels our fandom. We say a special salute to the medical professionals, doctors, nurses, caregivers, anyone who eases the pain of those in pain. A special thank you to all the teachers, police, and firefighters, and first responders. Our thoughts and prayers are always with the troops in service, especially those being deployed even now, the unit going out of Dayton that has been mobilized, and to those veterans that have returned. We also say a special prayer to those, say a special prayer for those that we have lost and who might be missing in action. This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans. With D and Jake, we will talk at you next time.